Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
When it comes to talking about all things credit and, of course, our credit behavior and other influences that play a role when it comes to our credit behavior, we're joined by a good friend of the show, Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer at Experian, Jaco van Jaarsveld. Jaco, such a pleasure to welcome you back to the show. Happy 2026.
And to you, same to you. And I heard you mention their English playing tricks on you. I only got back to the office, so I'm glad I could speak to you tonight, because yesterday I didn't top up my English airtime to have a constructive conversation with you. So luckily I did that top up, and hopefully the English lasts with me.
Well, let's hope it does, actually. But you're quite right. You're in good hands. Even if it doesn't, I can my gooi on a big Afrikaans.
It's early in the new year for me. I might convert to Afrikaans halfway through.
Perfect. Jaco, always a pleasure speaking to you. And we get so excited when we talk about credit, right? And I believe this is always a critical conversation, because a healthy credit score, access to credit when used correctly, can really be life-changing for South Africans, because it provides you an opportunity to invest in certain tools and opportunities that essentially can change your life. Purchasing a home, buying a car, accessing education, refurbishing a home, the list is endless. So for many of us, I guess, when we think about our credit score, how should we be reflecting on this as we move into 2026? Essentially, what does a good credit score look like, and what should we consider before taking efforts to correct or fix our credit score?
Now, that's a very valid point that you make there. Credit score is actually, you can summarize it as your passport to access finance, yep, but to access preferential terms on finance, whether it's access to a personal loan or a credit card or a home loan, as you said, or any insurance product, etc. That credit score and the higher your credit score, the better the financial terms are you typically to get on the credit score, right? And that credit score is purely a function, as we discussed on many previous occasions, of your data. So you effectively own what that credit score looks like. Your data, which is a combination of your personal data, your demographic, your address, your telephone numbers, the update, the accuracy of the data on your credit report, plus your payment behavior on existing credit products. So the better you pay your accounts, you make the minimum, at least the minimum payments on a monthly basis on all your accounts, your credit score will be positively impacted. And the higher your credit score, as I said, the better it is for you when you apply for any financial product, because other than giving you the access you require, it also is used to determine the terms of which that the credit is granted to you. So the interest rates directly correlates with where your credit score is at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is so important, right? Because for many of us, it's critical data that is easily influenced and shifted by our behavior. But that's exactly where it starts, where we need to monitor our behavior. So what are the pitfalls we need to be mindful of, or how do we need to reevaluate our behavior before correcting our credit score?
Yeah, I think the starting point, Guguleta, is get your credit report free on a monthly basis and check it.
Yep.
It's your data. People, the one thing that generally jumps out at me when I speak to and have conversations with people is when you start talking a credit report, people panic. They think, oh gosh, what's on there? Mm. Well, you're not going to know what's on there unless you check what's on there, number one. And number two, the only things that you will see on your credit report is your actual behavior relative to your credit behavior and your payment behavior. So you know how you pay or you don't pay your accounts, and that's just going to be reflected on your report. But what's also on the report is a whole host of historic data on you, previous addresses, current address, previous telephone numbers, current telephone numbers, whether you're a director of a company or not. So your SIPSI records will be on there. Your deeds data will be on there. Every piece of data that's generally available via a certain regulatory or government institutions that's available via consent, and then the credit data, everything sits on that report, whether there's any judgments or defaults taken against you, etc., etc. The other thing that's also very important that's clearly available on that credit report is inquiries against your name.
Yes.
So you can see if anyone has inquired, especially those that use the Experian service, you'll see if there's been inquiries against your name. So it's prevented them from a fraud perspective. You can see whether people are using your data or any activity is happening on your credit profile with and you can see it. So the key thing, starting point always, is do not be it's your data, it's a reflection, it's a mirror image of what you do, what you are, and where you come from and where you are today. Number one, get access, access that app, get your report, check it to the nth degree, make sure it's accurate. If not, have it fixed. You literally contact the credit bureau. Mm. You go through the customer consumer care. You'll work through our normal customer care mechanisms. And you can correct it, or we'll point you in the place to the place where you can correct it, because that's the starting point. Because in essence, the data in that report is used to calculate your bureau score.
Yeah.
So effectively, what the bureau score effectively does is it takes your payment behavior and how regular and accurate and minimum or higher than or less than payments you actually pay on your accounts over time, and it calculates score, and it looks at trends, 6 months, 12 months, and 18-month trends across different products. And it literally takes the data, it builds some variables that is predictive of credit, and it converts it to a score. So it's not even rocket science, to be totally honest. It literally takes your data, converts it to an insight, and calculates a score doing it. And that score is then what is used by credit providers or any financial institution to make a very quick decision on you, because that's a summary of your credit report and your credit profile.
Unfair question, but is there such a thing as a perfect score or average score that one should have?
There isn't a perfect score, because everyone is different, right? Yeah. But the scores ranges between 500 and 720, for instance. Now, the higher your score, the better your perceived credit, the better and more likely you are to get access credit and to get better interest rates. But remember, there's two components when credit's assessed: your risk, which is your credit score, and which is a reflection of how you pay your accounts, and then affordability. So there's two components that you have to tick the boxes. Can you afford it? And that's literally an income and expense calculation. It's a cash flow calc. Mm. So when you think about the way credit is assessed, first look at cash flow, and cash flow is what's my income, what's my expenses, what's my net available
repayment. Hence the affordability test, right, that the banks or institutions would ask you to complete.
And then once you've done that, they'll look at your score to put you in a category to say, are you really good, average, or am I not going to lend to you?
Yeah.
And again, different products use the scores differently. So home loans, which is a long-term, high-risk, low-margin loan, fewer people will qualify for a home loan. Therefore, they'll select higher scores. So you'll have the higher percentiles of credit scores will qualify for a home loan, whereas a broader population will qualify for an unsecured personal loan simply because the margins are greater on personal loans, and therefore more of the profits can be sacrificed, if I can describe it in that way, for debtors' losses or for losses. Mm-hmm. So it's 100% a function of product, score, and then affordability. But both components need to be ticked. You need to qualify from it from a risk perspective, but you also need to qualify from an affordability perspective.
Got you. I think that's so important, right, for us to understand those dynamics that I play and the kind of product that you're actually looking to gain access to. Because this then underscores how we need to address low credit scores. So often we panic and then we think, oh my gosh, I can't afford it. Or we think, okay, well, let me try to build my... Essentially, there are different reasons why someone could have a very low credit score, and you touched on it in terms of our behavior. And maybe that's where we need to start, because sometimes it's the basics, like having just too many banking products and not being able to fully track your financial behavior. Sometimes it's just being ignorant to the fact that you need to pay your credit obligations on time. And sometimes it's actually, you know, fraudulent activity on your account where someone else is claiming for money on your behalf and accessing credit that you're not even aware of, and as a result, impacts you negatively. So where do we start? Because it's such an interesting wave to navigate.
Yeah. So step one, let's start with the fraud. Own your credit report. Look at it, register and sign up to it every month and go check it. Because rather see the activity occurring before you get that first installment due and you go, but I didn't open this. Because the moment you get that installment due on your record and then you go, but this isn't me, then you have to go through the process. But there's still a due amount whilst the fraud investigation happens. Mm. And then whilst that happens, it still negatively impacts your credit report. It either blocks you with a fraud indicator that there's fraud investigation on, and then others won't potentially lend to you, or it could negatively impact your credit score because you're not paying an account that you didn't open, right? So step one, get hold of your credit report on a monthly basis. And we've shared this many times. It's freely available via the Experian consumer app, which I'll share a bit later with you. So that's step one. Step two is, as you said, make sure you pay your accounts that you have.
Yeah.
And before you open an account, make 100% sure that it's a need and not a want. And this is one of the big things that I always struggle with, and I've used this example with you on many occasions with my teenage daughters to describe the difference between a need and a want.
Yeah.
And a want is, I want to buy something on Shein, or I want to buy something on Temu because it looks really cool and my friends have it. That's a need. A want is, I need to get money to pay my university food, and therefore I bought the Shein, I'll phone my dad for the money, for the food, because I know he won't let me starve. It's to get that thing into their heads to say, is it, understand the difference between a need and a want. Because, and it's tough. It's tough during Black Friday. It's tough over the festive season. And as you said, you get into January and it's January half the time because you run out of cash long before the next payment cycle happens. And when that payment cycle happens, you've got all this outstanding debt that you need to settle. And typically what we see happen with most consumers is we see after the improvement in credit scores, the increase in credit scores and the improvement in payment behavior up until November in the run-up to Black Friday, because everybody knows, get my score good,
oh,
get
my
score as high as possible, I can get the biggest limit increases, I can access more credit, and then Black Friday happens, festive season happens, and then you see January, February, March, the default rates go up.
Oh.
And suddenly you see a deterioration in payment performance. And the challenge there is always going to be, don't fall into that trap.
Yeah.
Think needs as opposed to wants.
100%. You mentioned something so critical, because this is probably the best time for us to address it, right? Kids going back to school, parents going back to work. You know, South Africans just trying to get back into the rhythm of things. And this is typically where we might decide, oh, well, I'll pay that off a little later. I won't contribute that much. This is where we need to be very careful, because as you've mentioned, the next 3 months is typically where we see an increase in defaults. Help us understand how we can avoid that, because then it takes even longer then to catch up and clean up your credit score.
The best thing you can always do is try and make at least the minimum payment on your outstanding credit accounts. Find out from the credit providers what that minimum payment is, number one. Number two, if you are in distress, do not be afraid to contact the credit provider and do a payment negotiation for a period of time. If you think about from a credit provider's perspective, for them to grant you credit and you don't pay costs them more money than you phoning them and saying, I can't pay 100 rand this month, but I can pay 80 rand for the next 3 months. Mm-hmm. They'd rather take the 80 rands for the next 3 months than nothing for 2 months, because you're now trying to pay something else. It's far more cost effective for them and profitable for them too. So do not be afraid to contact the credit providers. I've been in the credit industry all my life, and I've always thought, just call us. We are not there to try and haul you over the coals.
Yeah.
Let us know and let's do a sort of a negotiation, or work out a payment plan that doesn't too significantly negatively impact your credit record. The worst thing you can do is don't pay and think, I'll pay this 3 this month and the next 3 the following months and the next 3 the following month. Don't do that. Mm. That adversely impacts your credit score, whereas if you pay at least 70 to 80 to 90% based on an agreed payment terms with the credit provider, your credit score isn't as significantly impacted. That said, prevent getting into that credit trap where you can't afford it. But we know what happens. People get into that. If I can give people any advice, do not be afraid to contact your credit provider proactively before you start missing payments.
Got you. So pick up the call, share the solution that you might have in terms of not being able to make an adequate payment, but then a new payment plan is able to be put in place. Yaku, to close off with, there's another key theme that you alluded to that I think many South Africans aren't familiar with, how your credit score also relates to, I guess, your negotiation power when it comes to interest rates. Anytime someone is offering some kind of credit, and depending on the product again, there is an avenue of negotiation that you have when it comes to interest rates. How does that play a role, and how do we, I guess, become a lot more alert to it, to use it in terms of
again,
negotiation?
So again, the key here is, the higher your credit score, the better for you. And do not underestimate the power of a high credit score in that negotiation. So the starting point again, and I forgive me for repeating myself, get your credit report, because in your credit report, it will explain exactly how a score works, how it's calculated, and it will show you what's a very high, really good, average, and low score. If you're in the very high category, I promise you, everybody wants you. If you can afford it and you've got the highest score and you can see it, you have the power. Do not just accept interest rates, negotiate them to the lowest point, and use that to shop around for the best interest rates. Use it to your advantage. And I think that's another key takeaway, and a very valid, good question that you're asking. because it's your data and it's your score, use it to your benefit. Use it to your benefit to negotiate the best interest rate you can get based on your high score. You work hard to get that high score, and once you get it, use it to your advantage.
Exactly. Yaku, this is why I love speaking to you, sir. There's always so many nuggets and so many gems that you've shared with us. And most importantly, some guidelines with our audience to say, well, if times are tough right now, instead of putting your head in the sand, call your credit provider proactively. You become the call center calling the agent or support system and customer line to actually say, hold on, I'm in a bit of a pickle. Can we make a plan? And most likely, 100% of the time, essentially, they should be giving you an option, because that's in compliance as well with the National Credit Act and treating customers fairly. Yaku, thank you so much for your time as always, sir. The English kept up. Well done.
Yeah, I can feel I've run out of airtime now. So, tot ziens en lekker aandag vir julle.
Bye, bye, dankie. Ja, kom ons waardeer jou tyd baie.
Thank you soon again and have a fantastic year. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Jaco van Jaarsveld. He's the Chief Strategy and Innovation Officer at Experian. So, get your credit score, right? Many of us might sit and think, ooh, I'm a bit anxious. Truth is, if you have a bank account, banking app, you can access it. Many of the banks do use many of the service providers available, whether it's TransUnion, Experian, ClearScore, and some other players in the industry. That's where you will be able to have a look at your credit score, get an assessment on it. And from there, it helps you understand your financial and your credit behavior. If not, do feel free to use many of the apps and services available by the different players within the credit score industry in South Africa. Share your thoughts with us. Is your credit score healthy? Or at least, is it healthy enough for you? Either way, always know that we can always do better when it comes to accessing credit and using that tool effectively for our benefit.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.